Samira, good morning and welcome to the studio.
Good morning.
You finally made it, right? After all this hard work and successful story.
Yeah.
Actually, what is your story?
It's so funny being on this side, actually. But my story is that I graduated from college this year. And I'm at that very confusing threshold in life where I have all this energy and idealism from all the things that I've done in my past. But now it's like everyone's like real life is knocking. So before that, I wanted to go and explore around India, different avenues, and Auroville was one of them. And because I'm an aspiring journalist, I thought Auroville Radio would be the perfect place for me to come and explore such a space. And I came here with no idea what I was going to do, and now I'm leaving with a really, really heavy heart because I just had an intense month. I feel like I've aged decades in this time that I was here.
So it's really shake you and move you and actually propel your growth. Yeah.
It has completely. In fact, when I came here, I was a little confused about what it was exactly that I want to do later in my life in terms of journalism, in terms of work. And while I was at the radio and driving around, you know, with the mic in my bag, I realized this is what I want to do. I know it might not be the same everywhere. It's not going to be Auroville. But I just felt like the way when you talk to new people and when you go for events and you see things, you really get to see things. And I'm like, why else would I do something else when I can actually just go and see and talk, you know?
And while you're doing it, you also paid for that, yeah? At least outside, not
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I hope to be paid for it. But
What was your main study?
I studied history in college. And I guess I did a few papers in philosophy and literature, which is my interest. But history, so there was this field that I'm interested in. It's called microhistory, which very few historians are actually into. It's looking at small spheres and small spaces or individual studies. It's it doesn't look at like this large victorious narrative of like the colonial countries. It just does a microscopic view. So for me, that's what propelled me to actually come and experiment in Auroville and try out with Auroville Radio, because I want to see how it works archiving and documenting in small spaces. There's something monumental going on here. So
yeah, that makes sense. And where did you hear about Auroville?
So
how you get across with?
This is going to sound like a sentimental crazy story, but I'll say it anyway. I came in 9th grade with my parents for just 2-3 days to Pondi. We'd come on a road trip and we came into Auroville and we just went to visitor center. But inside me, I felt really good. Like I felt really energized, and I can't explain it. Everyone's going to be like, she's whacked. But really, I felt this energy inside me, and I wrote in my diary that I have to come back. I said it. I have to come back here. I have to live here or something. So in college, I was having a really bad day one day, and I'm like, I'm going to go to Auroville for a month. So I went, found Buddha Garden. This is the first time I came in December.
Yeah, that was amazing that you started gardening. I mean, you did something on the earth first before you came to
us. Before I came to the radio. And it's so funny because I'm sure if I found out about the radio earlier, I would have just come straight to the Auroville Radio last time. But it was really interesting. Organic farming also really changed a lot of things for me in my life.
Let us go a little bit sideways because you're talking about Buddha Garden, and I'm really curious, as a volunteer, how do you see Auroville? Because there are some stories of volunteers that are complaining that they're working for free, that they don't get nothing or whatever, you know, like they're fighting for their rights and they don't get it somehow. But it's not totally true, but still in that, it's kind of rumor, yeah, we are doing a lot of job for, and we, on top of that, we also pay that we have a privilege to stay here. So what do you, how do you see, what was your daily life in Buddha Garden?
Okay, I can divide, I think, my feelings for this into sentimental and romantic feelings, and then there's the practical reality. So in terms of when I came to Buddha Garden last time, it is not, I won't say it's expensive, but it's not inexpensive to stay there. And in terms of like stay and food, and you're working a little bit, it comes out to be, I mean, I have to say it's a bit of a luxury, but at the same time, I think that the amount that you would spend in a city or in an internship somewhere else is far more, all right? And it's not about getting paid and not getting paid at this point. Volunteering really, I think that's how you should travel, to be honest. When you're going to spend money to go to a place and stay in a place, volunteering is the best way to see a place, the best way to connect to that land, to connect to that earth. And also, I think people need to start questioning what they feel about work. And this is something that happened with me. I know I came, you know, really this really spoiled girl. I still am, I know. But when I'd come, it used to be a problem for me to just like be squatting in the earth, you know, and all of that. But then I realized that working is not about, you don't work to get something in exchange. Sometimes it's just for the work itself. It's so therapeutic and you can just keep going. And honestly, the concentration, weirdly, you know.
Feeling like depressed.
Even therapeutic to, you know, the city noise. But when I remember when I used to farm and I had to keep going at it, even when I'm like, where is breakfast? When I went back home this time, I could study better. Like, I realized my concentration, because you had to keep doing it, like this weird Zen way of approaching, you know, academia, it was, and it really actually really helped me. So
that's helping.
And I guess I met a lot of people and lots of, like, I fell in love, all these little things that happen. So
wait, you also fell in love with...
No, fell in love with lots of people.
With the person.
One person and many people also, but...
Oh, one person and many people, okay. So you just fell in love.
Yeah, but I think I fell in love. This time when I came back, I realized that I'm in love with Auroville. And I know that there are lots of practical problems, in the sense that, firstly, money, that's... Mm-hmm. I think the notion exists among volunteers that to be here, you need to have money. And I do think that is... there somewhere, and that needs to be addressed at maybe a macro level in Auroville, because this time I got to know the space a lot better than last time, because I went for all these events through the radio and I spoke to a lot of you and I met a lot of Aurovillians this time. Last time was only travelers and tourists, because I was here in tourist time.
Yeah, that's really a segment, just a point of the view, yeah.
Yeah.
That if somebody's really volunteering and doesn't move around, you won't get to know
exactly.
And I think it takes ages, years to realize
what is actually happening over here.
Go over the layers and say, okay, I'm landing here, and then you go deeper.
Exactly. Whoa. Yeah. And actually, there's beauty in the depth as well, because I remember last time when I went back, I was completely romanticizing Auroville, okay? But this time when I come back and I'm looking at the layers, I think it's interesting, even from like just an anthropological point of view, but even when you immerse yourself in it, there's something going on here. There's an experiment and there's a project, and there are problems, but there's a beauty in it. And it's just, it's really, like, I don't know, fascinating what's going on.
Cool. That part, you came back the second time, it was different, yeah?
Yeah, completely.
But we are trying to figure out, because some things are not correct, so these ongoing changes are coming up. How you would describe the current situation in Auroville?
I think what's happening and in Auroville right now, from my perspective entirely, is that I think when it started, there was a lot of idealism, and there still is a lot of idealism. But, okay, these things might sound controversial, but a lot of times I feel like when people are talking about spirituality and connecting it to, say, the economy and things, people are vague. At a lot of the talks that I went to, there seemed to say things, but I didn't think that it was going to be followed through. Yeah, and I think there's a lot of preaching, but practice I've seen a lot lesser than I think I would have liked to, you know. And I think the second problem that's happening is there's... Okay, forgive me for saying this, but I think there's a lot of ego clashes going on in Auroville. And it's surprising me, and it's not... And I think the younger generation is dissociating themselves from the ego clashes, because I guess they don't want to be involved in this kind of, like... Because they already have it, you know? But I think the most important things, one would be for people in this space to realize that... Okay, it's easier said than done, of course, that working in tandem and unity and understanding everyone's important, because this doesn't happen in cities, it doesn't happen anywhere else. And here, everyone's voice should matter. It shouldn't be that hierarchies, I think, are coming in, and there's like this graded inequality that's starting to come. And if that happens in Auroville, then I think there's no hope, you know.
That's true.
So, yeah, that, and I think the youth needs to be involved at maybe a... Not, I don't know if political is the word, at an organizational level, because that's the kind of energy I think that needs to be put back in.
Well, whenever you talk about the conglomerate of people, you know, it's police is the word, but still we are political creature. But the fact is, what do you do with that? Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Either you do it for community good, or you do it for your own self good, for self praise. That's, you say, you wouldn't mention the ego clashes. So that's somehow it does keep coming up.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, we are humans, you know.
Yeah.
So we didn't evolve so much to be prone, feel free of being prone to have a control power, those
power,
issues.
Yeah. No, it's true. I think it has to come in everywhere. And it has. So I suppose also it's my romanticized idea from outside to see it and be like, why are there problems? And of course there'll be problems. But hopefully there'll be, people will realize it and there'll be a questioning. And I think if anything, it's like, at least you can question here. And you can look deeper. And there are, I just think, I don't know, I see some factionalism. And that's confusing me a little. Maybe the next time when I come, I'll be able to understand it a little better.
Now, if you look outside, how the world, because you're coming from India, yeah? You're coming from Delhi. So how India, people in Delhi see Auroville?
So a lot of people don't know about Auroville. They know about, see, the Aurobindo Ashram, and they'll know roughly about there's this city that's set up there. But in India, I have to be honest, a lot of people, like in my, even in my college and things, didn't know exactly what Auroville was. Maybe they'd visited once in a while, but no one knew what they were talking about. So I have to say that people outside India are a lot more aware of what Auroville is than people in big cities. And that's unfortunate, because I think we're really privileged to have this over here, right? You know, where we can get here so easily. And one of my traveler friends said that to me. He's like, you don't know how lucky you are that you're Indian, man. You can just come to Auroville anytime, you know.
Yeah, but it's true.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, for anybody of us, and yet I think this community is still lacking the people from, I mean, the members from third world, from Africa, South America, from other Asian parts.
Yeah. It's true.
For you guys, it's like, even if somebody does say, okay, you're not accepted as a newcomer, you can still be
here. You can just still be around easily with no visa issues. But another thing that I noticed this time around, I met a lot of Indian students who are working here as architects at Mitra Youth Hostel and at Auroville Consulting. And I know if they hear me right now, but anyway. They said, I feel like a lot of them are kind of close to Auroville. In the sense that they make their own niche about and work 9 to 5 even when they're here, and tend to not go out and see what the larger picture of what's going on. Sometimes you'll tell them that, I don't think, firstly, they're completely disinterested in the spiritual aspect, which I think is problematic, because if you're here, it's something you should at least explore and be aware about, if not practice yourself. And the second thing is, I think, I mean, I can't say this generally, but I do think that a lot of the Indian students, the ones at my hostel especially, when they come here, they tend to just bring what they got from the city over here and not communicate with the rest of Auroville. And I think there needs to be something done about that.
No, I think that because the architects, somehow they're keeping the special status. They don't fall under normal maintenance, so to speak. And secondly, the whole architecture, because somebody said it's a city of architects and artists, it's really particular. And for those students, it's interesting because it's a model of something. Like Corbusier, and there was Roger Angier, all those. And you saw different communities. You saw the different building startup and the Earth Institute, all the experiments going on. So for them, it's interesting, that part. And that really has nothing to do with the rest of them.
I think that's why I feel like, say, this is what happened with me, the youth.
I know that some of them are working actually super hard.
Yeah, no, for sure they're working really hard.
Like,
but
really, really get what they get paid, because they're also not paid, but they get wages, you know.
They do get wages, and I do think they are exploring, but I felt maybe, this is just a personal opinion, at the hostel this time I felt a little detached from maybe what I was looking for in Auroville. You know, as my like experience in volunteering, maybe something larger than an office atmosphere.
I think you have to come back soon.
Yes.
sooner or later, whatever. No, let's go to the other point, because all of a sudden you start to shine and all your pieces had such a high score. What's the secret behind
it? I think the secret behind it is, I'll be honest. One secret is that I connected it a lot to stories back home and things that people would be interested in. So some of the stories I did were literally people I'd known in my life, in my past, such as Antriksh and George, who are doing something extremely different now. And I knew a lot of people back home would be curious to hear them. And it's about Auroville. So for me, it was about communicating what I'm doing here, what Auroville is, and what people from back home are doing. It's like connecting it to my city. So that got a lot of views. And for example, the German exchange student, they also had an outreach back home. So it's a lot, for me, the trick was... outreach back home, but that's not sustainable. Like, I want to make myself more visible here next time when I come, which is what I try to do at the film festival, you know, running around with my sticker.
Oh, wait, they will come, you know, because when they edit all the movies, you will see how, how you come on TV.
All over.
And for the record, yes, we have also horrible TV site.
Which is coming up, which will be very exciting.
So. Yeah, but when Tlaloc is edit all those interviews, you would be on the site.
I mean, there are two right now up already.
They are already?
I was so embarrassed. But apart from that, I think, the secret is really visibility. After a point, some people at events started calling me Radio Girl. I felt really pleased about it, you know, because that's what I think the secret is, just to run around and get attention. But that's not sustainable again. Like I said, when I come back, I'll want to not only network back home, but somehow try to network within this space. And I think I'll have to spend more time here and talk to a lot
more people. You mean here in Oroville or out? To do a window, to create a window for out?
A bit with both. So, and I think the reason I'm going back now also is maybe find bigger avenues. I'm not sure exactly why I'm going back, but something is calling me. I have a lot of energy that I want to channel in Delhi, in that space. And so network outside, but also network within, like find kind of a balance between the two, because I don't want to be here but just be connected to the outside world as a journalist. I want to be here and be able to communicate with Orovillians.
You're talking the point, which is actually a muddy pond to my perspective, you know. How do you see the Orovillians, not those who are moving around, I mean, on the radio and maybe some other medias, but how do you see the other Orovillians? Do they communicate? Or do they share? Do they? Or they're just? Or how? What is your perception?
See, I think a lot of people have a view about Orovillians, saying that they're closed and live in a bubble. But I have to say that I think Orovillians themselves are as diverse as any kind of group, in the sense that I've met Orovillians where I felt certain amount of hostility, or I just feel that could be my perspective. And there are some who are completely out there to, you know, integrate new people and talk, and especially, for example, at the radio, the people that I've met. So I think within Orovillians, there's a divide, and I do see a certain amount of detachment with tourists and travelers. I'm not sure what the reason is, and I'm sure there are lots of... It's based on experience.
After some years, you will realize that you feel like an animal in zoo, you know, so then you get detached. Yeah. No, but what my question is, do we communicate amongst ourselves, one unit to another unit, community to community, a person to person? How do you
personally
see that?
I've been here only a month, so my comment would have to be, I don't think there's good communication between different spaces, and honestly there's some amazing things going on in all over Oroville, but I feel like they're all kind
segmented,
of divided.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of segmentation, and if they came together, something huge can be, you know, something amazing could happen. A lot of energy, because there's a lot of divided energy within the Orovillians, which I've observed personally. And
or maybe you got an idea how to put that together.
I wish maybe when I come back I'll have like this sketch. I don't know, even I can see it at, not only at talks, but I can see it even at events, that there's a divided energy. And I think that's why maybe things are progressing a little slower. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We will continue the story when you come back.
Yes, next time
when
I come
back. Thank you for being with us with all this positivity and open-heartedness.
Thank you so much. I've had the best time, and I'm getting sentimental now.